This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Punishment fit the crime. Back to Dylan Gabriel here in a moment. Tone, he has found satisfaction. They didn't get a chance to do it yesterday because we were going over just everything with the Browns. But you're satisfied with what was handed down from the NCAA, the toothless NCAA. They're gumming them there.
Oh, look,
shark on Jackass.
I think we all knew. Anybody that was paying close attention, sorry if you guys have a subscription to an Ohio State site. They were never getting a postseason ban. The NCAA is out of that business, I think. I don't think, unless you're Akron.
Put the safety back on.
Boy, that's so Jerry Tarkanian. Remember, that was his famous saying about what's going to happen if one of the Blue Bloods commits a crime or whatever. Like, oh, Cleveland State, look out. Like, they are just getting out of the business of penalizing. You know, with postseason bans, all they're going to do is do what they did.
Well,
they're
going to
limit recruiting, which is hilarious because if anybody's following recruiting, guys aren't even making visits anymore. Like, they are like, how much can you pay me? Okay, I'm committed.
Talk to my agent. I think altogether it's what, around $40 million in fines they'll end up paying? Which, again, I think a lot of teams would pay $40 million for a national championship. The Akron situation about it, it does seem unfair. I'll just say this as an Akron alum, why I wouldn't make mention of it at all, is I hate to say it, one guy is still a coach and one guy isn't. Jim Harbaugh has moved on, and Joe Moorhead's still there. So you got to pay the fiddler while it's there. And
Harbaugh hadn't left, I do wonder if there could have been a more substantial ban, but he had left. And the players are gone. Finally, the NCAA is doing the right thing, by the way. It's not these players' fault. And I said the same thing when Jim Tressel, when they got hampered with their NCAA investigation. Same thing with Urban Meyer. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Jim O'Brien on the basketball side. Like, these players, it's not their fault. So finally, the NCAA has gotten it right. It just so happens that, you know, if you're an Ohio State fan, you're like, why couldn't that have been the punishment when we were accused of all the stuff we were accused of?
Yeah, and I think, the NCAA is going to go after those who really don't have the firepower to go back. Akron football didn't have the firepower to go back. Michigan would. I think that they decided on something that was really gummy at best, not really fighting it. But, again, there's the weird stink on it forever where a Michigan fan will tout their national championship and Hey, we live in the real world. So national champions are national champions. You don't got nothing to apologize for.
We all saw it.
But you also live...
They celebrated it. We watched it.
But you hardcore Ohio State fans and Michigan fans, which I'm a part of neither fan base, really. You guys all think I'm full of it. I'd be much closer to being an Ohio State fan than I would be a Michigan fan, but whatever. Lyman's got you brainwashed, of all things. Both of you fan bases live in the same world. You have to deal with being told that for the rest of your lives. And you can say it doesn't bother you. You'll still have online fights. You will still block each other and cuss each other out and show each other your text messages, and you'll still do it over this penalty. Guarantee you do. Guarantee it. I've already seen it from the because they know I'm a neutral party. I got my Ohio State buddies. I got my Michigan buddies, and they will send them to me. And I go, yeah, you guys are living in the same world, so justice in some way, even though it's not going to be served by the NCAA because, again, it's toothless, this is as served as it gets. That, yeah, you did something wrong, but you still had to win the football games. Michigan can fight it. Ohio State can go after him. I think Ohio State fans were upset that they didn't get the book thrown at him. Sorry, guys. It was a different NCAA when Jim Tressel got in trouble. It was an NCAA that had power. It's an NCAA that had influence. It was an NCAA that wasn't being sued by Ed O'Bannon and everything else. Like they had that power. They don't anymore. And when Michigan did it, they don't have power. You can go ahead and do it. You can go ahead and steal all the signs you want. You just better hope Ryan Day goes on to the NFL. But you won a national championship, and as far as I know, you didn't steal any signs.
I have to give Michigan credit for winning the games that Harbaugh got suspended, and once they were put on notice, I imagine the sign stealing
suspended on the tarmac for crying out loud.
I imagine the sign stealing was, you know, they had already been done, obviously, but you know they were on their P's and Q's at that point. They still won those games, so I will give Michigan credit for that. I think their penalty is and will always be that the stigma of their championship. You can't write a national championship book without the scandal, even if you're a reporter in Ann Arbor or in Detroit. You can't. If you're a Michigan alum, if you do another documentary, it's going to include Connor Stallions. It's going to include the suspension of Harbaugh. And let's face it, Michigan fans, you guys champion that. You champion overcoming the odds, even though they're odds that you produced. Like, you champion it. It's part of your story. So don't act like it's not. Don't act like the gambling isn't always the gambling. The scandal isn't always going to be brought as part of it in the sign stealing. And you know what? Like we mentioned, you know, New England. New England will always have one of their Super Bowls. Oh, the deflated footballs are always going to be brought up. The difference is they were able to come back and win more Super Bowls. You know, Michigan probably won't. We'll see. They got a great quarterback now. They do. They have a much better situation than they did last year. Think they're winning the championship this year?
It just depends on what they want to do. They're still one of those organizations or still one of those programs that lie to themselves and want to sit there and talk about academics. Once they start to actually tell the truth to themselves, maybe they'll give themselves a chance. And I say that as a respectful thing to Ohio State, to Alabama. USC, for whatever reason, just doesn't get it. Or they just bought in on an overrated coach, one of those two things. Like, there is a part of, I can respect you. Yeah, I think Ohio State's still a really tough school to get into and a really good school. They also have an elite football program. And I'm sure that some of the guys that got in on the elite football program maybe don't have the same SAT scores as some of the other guys. I don't give a damn. You're still elite at something now, aren't you? And you still won a national championship, and those guys get paid a hell of a lot of money. And I don't care, because it's about entertainment more than it's ever been. So if Michigan still wants to lie to themselves about what type of program and institution they are, then fine, go right on ahead. Well, but you're going to eventually start losing Ohio State again, and you won't be winning national championships, and you'll put Sherrod Moore on the hot seat.
It's just part of it is, and we can't deny, like Michigan has always, especially when they were losing, they put themselves on a pedestal. Like, we're not willing to get down in the mud like they do at Ohio State. Like, I know those SEC schools and Cam Newton taking six figures, allegedly. We're not going to do that at Michigan.
You wouldn't but say then when that you if you weren't it, bothered by it.
But then when you do it, you can't be surprised when people throw that back at you, which is exactly what happened.
You wouldn't say that if you weren't bothered by it. That's why I love bothering SEC fans so much. It just means more. Well, apparently it doesn't mean enough because you don't have the wherewithal that the schools up north have where they've won back-to-back national championships. Like, hey, I love how the SEC is going to win another national championship sooner and later, but I love how much them and even their media are freaking out over the Big Ten.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You asked me how, like I said, well, Miles wins in the end. You go, well, how does Miles win? I said, he always wins in the end. He gets his money, and he uses the media however he wants. He stood there. I saw the reaction. He waits a week and a half to say anything. And the reaction from the fans are, remember, this is Browns fans who just want to go out and win. And ultimately, in their heart of hearts, they go, hey, it's speeding tickets. We've all had speeding tickets. Like, some of the things that other guys have been accused of, you'd like to hear something on them. And I think the Browns fans want to hear something on them. But when it comes to speeding tickets, while it can be serious, everybody sat there with their son going, Junior, what the hell are you doing? Or everybody's been the son hearing, Junior, what the hell are you doing? Everybody's been through it, mostly. So you can be upset, but it's been a week and a half. So the immediate reaction is, why are you guys still talking about this? What's going on here? Why are we still talking about this? Typical Cleveland media, which is some of the nicest media you're going to find, as Lima will always tell you. Typical Cleveland media. Can't let a story go.
This is one of the easiest cities to play football in. I don't think that people realize that.
Typical Cleveland.
Imagine if this were Philadelphia.
So they're on.
They win Super Bowls and they want to fire the coach 4 weeks
in. They're on Miles' side. Miles knows he's not losing any fans over it. Miles knows he's not losing any sleep over it. And also, Miles knows whenever he needs something that needs to be put out there, we'll all line up and do it. What am I going to do? If I was actually upset, I can only be honest with you guys. If I were actually upset and Miles calls me up and goes, Ken, I need you to do something for me here. I want to put out a story here. No, I'm mad at you. Why, Ken? Because you wouldn't answer the questions about speeding. I question myself as the words come out. So all of us will take the opportunity.
Well, it seems like
to break a story. I'm not even a reporter, but take the opportunity to break a story. So he gets the money. He still has the accolades, and he still has the people cooperating with him.
Yeah, it sounds like you don't think the questions should have been asked. Are you annoyed that the questions were asked?
No, the questions are fine to be asked. The questions are fine to be asked. I'm just telling you the truth of the matter. I'm not upset with the questions being asked. Go ahead and ask the questions. But I'm just not surprised. I'm not mad at him for not answering them. And maybe you think I should be mad at him. Maybe you care more about this than I thought you did.
No, it's not. Definitely not mad. I'm just surprised. I'm surprised. It would have been the very easiest thing in the world to have a great moment that everybody would rally behind. And instead, he's not getting that. Yeah, I'm still seeing people are annoyed. People either don't care or they are really annoyed with him. He could have eliminated all of the annoyance by just answering the question and putting a nice tone on it. Like, you know, I've definitely made mistakes on the road. I know one nearly cost me my life, but I'm not gonna be some hazard to the community. You don't have to worry about me if you're driving on sharing the same road as me. If he would have said something like that, everybody would have been like. Instead, he's not getting that. Instead, he's getting either people mad at the media, which they're always mad at the media, whatever. But they're also getting the people that are deeply annoyed because they're saying things like, why can't he be a leader? Why can't he be a leader? Like, he wouldn't have to deal with any
because
of that.
That's
where I don't think he wins.
I don't think he... But I don't think those people are going to really hold it against him in the end.
Well, it's just
when he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, people are going to turn his back on him at his Hall of Fame speech.
And you've seen it. He has one game against Houston in the playoffs where he is a non-factor, and immediately people go to, oh, defensive player of the year, leader, big $125 million, whatever the contract was. Like, that's when they go to it. That's when he loses. They just look for things to pile on.
But in the end...
In the big games when he might not have a big game.
But in the end, he's still the guy who... didn't do anything terrible. Like, we know right and wrong. We all have right and wrong. This is a speeding ticket. I know terrible things happen. We always couch it with that. But it's another speeding ticket. Compared to all the other skeletons and other closets that we hear about football players, this is definitely at the bottom. No matter how angry we want to act. He still has the accolades. He still has the money. He still has the first ballot Hall of Fame. He still probably gets his jersey retired here. What's the loss? What's the loss? And I would love for him to go 60 and a 60 or 69 and a 60 if we can do that. I don't know, 6-7 something with the kids. Gabe was showing us something with that. So maybe he can go 67 and a 60. I don't know, man. I think that, again, you go down that stretch of 71. I think anybody with common sense should know that, yeah, there's cops sitting all over the place there. But that's where he is. That's where it is. So I can act outraged and act holier than thou. I'm not. And I know that there's things that other guys have been accused of in this league. It doesn't make it 100% right.
Yeah, they play for the Browns.
It doesn't make me...
it's about seven of them.
It doesn't make me outraged over it. It doesn't make me outraged. And I'm not mad. I just came to expect it, really. I don't expect more out of him.
Yeah,
well, I don't expect more.
Yeah, you've lowered the bar in terms of like leadership and stuff for Miles. You're just not asking for it anymore for Miles.
Exactly.
I know the minute he signs that contract, that's what people like to bring up. So they want him to be perfect. They want him to never be in the news for anything outside of football once he signed that contract.
But I think that if you paid attention to this football team and Miles Garrett on this football team for 9 years, I think you know not to expect anything more. I brought it up before. If you are looking for leadership from him, I know he makes the most money. I know he's the best player on the defense, but that doesn't equate to leadership. If you're looking for leadership from him, you're looking in the wrong place. And it's a tough thing to say. I'd love him to be a big-time leader, the heart and soul, the Reggie White of this defense. It ain't him.
Really sounds like
it
that,
ain't him.
Instead of the speeding, if Kent Carmer were at the press conference, it sounds like that would be the question you'd be asking Miles.
Because,
why aren't you the leader? How could you possibly not be? You're the guy that's been here. You've seen it all. You've played for all these coaches. You're a marvelous player.
But
you could
go down
in history as the best player ever in the history of the Browns.
But you know what?
Is that in play?
It's already done.
No, the best player in the history of the Browns.
Isn't that
in play?
Jim Brown is the
but
best
it's not
player
in play
the history
with Miles?
Of the Browns.
He still doesn't have years ahead of him?
He's got years ahead of him, but I mean, Jim Brown was mythological. And I know Miles is great. Is Miles mythological? Like, Jim Brown was just this otherworldly thing. Now, again, I'm listening to ghost stories. Obviously, I never saw Jim Brown play. So who knows what we'll say about Myles Garrett in 30 years for the kids who never saw Myles Garrett play. Maybe that is in play. Maybe I have to look at it a different perspective. But I'm going to tell you this. If I questioned Myles, like if I did an interview, or if I just decided, you know what, I'm going to let it rip. Myles is going to sit here and he's going to hear a piece of my mind for the next 5 minutes. I don't think speeding tickets are going to get brought up. It's not going to be speeding tickets that make me upset. It's going to be another terrible loss with another terrible quarterback having another terrible performance, and then I just lose my mind and I go, you know, why does Anthony, and it's the same track, pull the string on me and let it run again. Why does Anthony Walker Jr. got to give the speeches? Why does Rodney McLeod got to give the speeches? You know, why is the quarterback that we used to have, when it came between you or him, why is the quarterback that we used to have all of a sudden the 38th best player in that team's franchise history all of a sudden? Why is it that way? Like, that would be brought up if I really wanted to get nasty about it. But then I go, well, you got 16 sacks, and we haven't had a quarterback. And we went out and traded for a quarterback who runs himself into sacks, can't read defenses, can't stay healthy. Okay, it's not all your fault, I guess. And again, you're really, really good. So if you fill your end of the bargain up on the field, there's only so much I can say.
But it's funny because Haslam did bring up when he was asked, you know, after all the trade rumors and
that was, that was lip service.
And Jimmy Haslam absolutely said, you know, we're gonna look for some leadership out of our dominant pass rusher.
Well, you can go looking for it, but I don't think you're gonna find it. It's that simple. And I wish it was different. I wish he used, you know, I remember Joe crying when they won the football game in 2016. I remember the pain, the stories that he shared with us both off and on the air. I wish that he would use that as some sort of a cautionary tale of like, hey, man, you only have a finite amount of time. But I don't know how much that matters. I think he wants to win, but I think that at the end of it, maybe he's okay with the career. And will I in 10 years, like say his career ends in 4 years, in 9 years, when he goes into the Hall of Fame, will I be sitting here at 48 years old going, oh, my God, yeah, but we lacked leadership with him? I don't know. I mean, maybe something crazy is going to happen here in the next year or so. I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm going to line right up with everybody else and say great things about him and how great of a defensive player he was. And honestly, it's weird. The speeding tickets, beside the speeding tickets, which don't make you a bad person, it can make you goofy, but it don't make you a bad person. I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think he's a bad guy at all. I understand there's one incident that happened on a football field, but you and I know that we have our theory about that, and we take his side on that, and you and I have been on the record about it. So, there you are.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I wonder if it's almost impossible to go back-to-back in this version of college football. Should we ask Urban Meyer that? I think we should there, Tone. Because, I mean, you got 12 teams right there. It's especially in today's NIL era, to put the confetti back in the cannon, I mean, it's almost like you're asking a program too much to go back-to-back. Like, I could see Ohio State, like, I'm not trying to be a killjoy here. I could see Ohio State in a year or two winning another national championship, but it's like, man, it's hard. It's hard. It's almost impossible. You're still the number two team in the country, but man, you've accomplished it. It's hard to go back and get everybody riled up again to do it. It was an effort.
I just keep looking at Penn State, right? Because Penn State is by all accounts supposed to be a national championship contender. Where is your roster in comparison to Penn State? Where is your coaching in comparison?
Remember, they're number two in the coaches poll. I think they're number three in the AP poll. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. So, my real story all year. The headlines I'm going to be looking at. Julian Sain, where is his development? Like, he could look atrocious in week one. Everyone will be down on Ohio State, but it doesn't really matter where Julian Sain is week one. Where is he in that second half of the year? Where is he in that stretch run? Because we just saw last year, you could have a quarterback like Kyle McCord play horrifically in the Michigan game, right? Your last regular season game of the year. That didn't even matter. It's where are you for a stretch run? Where are you for a postseason run? Where are you going to be at? Because Ohio State should, right? I think we say should, when all is said and done this year, looking at that schedule, they should have a chance to get into the playoff.
Easily, yes.
So even with a loss to Texas.
You would think. You brought up, you wanted me to ask about the Penn State. You wanted to ask me about the Penn State thing. I think it's another year of conversations about James Franklin, where I don't think it goes anywhere. I mean, even if they were to lose to Ohio State, if they were to lose to Oregon and they finish 10-2, it's like, well, he ain't going anywhere. I think this is their best crack at it to actually have a national championship in a long time with Penn State. But I don't think, does anybody really pick them to beat Ohio State? Because his record against top teams would say otherwise. And it's become a ghost that follows him around to every game they go. It's like, okay, yeah, great. You beat App State. Fine enough program. When are you going to beat Ohio State? When are you going to beat Michigan? When are you going to beat Michigan when they're good? When are you going to beat all these other football teams? Like, that's the question that falls around James Franklin. And Penn State, I think it feels for a Penn State fan like they're probably stuck. And I'm going to move back to the Browns here in just a second. But I think for a Penn State fan, it probably feels like you're stuck, because I think you know in your heart of hearts, James Franklin is a really good coach. Is he of the same ilk as some of the other guys? I don't know. I bet a lot of people probably would have put him above Ryan Day going into last year, considering what happened there, and now you're like, no way, outside of Ohio State, of course, no way you'd put him in the same stratosphere now as Ryan Day and what Ohio State did, being able to rally those guys after that terrible loss to Michigan. Like, there's no clue. But you can't let go of this guy, because you're not above being Nebraska after Solich. You're not above that. So you got to be careful if you're a Penn State type of program. So I think it's going to be a very interesting season how this plays out for the top three teams. And, of course, Texas, with what Arch Manning said a couple of days ago, where he's got to keep his options open. Plus, and somebody else brought this up, I want to ask Urban Meyer about this coming up here in about 15 minutes. With Arch Manning, I think you have to leave your pro options open, because I think there's other things that you can maybe get offered by an NFL football team that aren't on the rookie wage scale, and that might have to be taken into account with the CBA, because who's to say that I want to come out? Well, now your team has the number one overall pick. What are you willing to offer my father? What are you willing to offer my grandfather and my uncles? that is not part of my salary. What are you willing to do something like that? I want to take care of my family with generational wealth. Hint, hint. Of course, it could always come back to, and somebody made a great point on Twitter. Yeah, I could always go back to Texas. What are you willing to offer now to keep me if I go out and win a Heisman Trophy and a national championship? Now, this is putting so many carts before so many horses because we've only seen him really play against not great programs. So we got to see what he does because I'll tell you what, if he goes out there and sucks up the room next Saturday, there'll be a lot of people waiting to go after Arch Manning coming up that Monday. 216-474-0092. Kevin Stefanski, you asked me this question on my way in today. I read it on the speaker on the phone there on the truck, and you had asked, let me get this correctly here, did Stefanski make a mistake in calling all this a QB competition? Explain yourself.
So when we, you know, set out with four quarterbacks to begin training camp, Stefanski said it would be a competition. He didn't go into specifics about, well, would this be two guys battling for the starting spot, two guys battling for the backup or the third string? He never went into great detail about that.
Yeah.
I don't know how much he was pressed on it, but there are people out there that were under the impression that, like, Shador or Dillon Gabriel, but mostly Shador, had a chance to start week one against Cincinnati. And all the behavior of the reps in training camp, the way that they divided or allocated the reps in training camp, the personnel groups the quarterbacks were pairing up with, it would have led you to an obvious conclusion mm-hmm. that Shador Sanders, Dillon Gabriel, had no shot ever really to start week one. This was not a fair quarterback competition. That really wasn't by the behavior, by what people were seeing at camp every single day, by the beat reporters and what they were telling you, and by some of the leaks that came out eventually, which were, oh, these guys are miles behind. Like, don't ever confuse this as an actual chance to win a starting job. And it seems to have angered fans that Shador and Dillon Gabriel never really had a shot to start week one. And so that's why I asked the question today. Kenny, could we have avoided a lot of the nonsense? Could we have avoided? It's been great for radio because we've welcomed in all the Shador fans. We've got a lot of people from Boulder, Colorado. We had people from Dallas calling yesterday.
Atlanta,
I'm a big Shador
Atlanta,
fan.
The Atlanta. One guy who called in, he started listening yes, only because
only
of Shador.
Only because of Shador. We welcomed them and we were happy, but I hated to
they
break
better
the
not
news.
Cut them now.
But I hated to break the news to them that there was never really a quarterback competition. They said, then why did your coach say it? So did they invite unnecessary debate over this?
I want to disagree with you because to have the debate, I think they did. I think they invited that because when you have Shador Sanders and this massive fan base, you know, we've had other massive fan bases jump in. I've told the fans, like, you guys haven't experienced anything like this. Yes, we did. We experienced Johnny and we experienced Baker. This is my third rodeo, not my first.
And by the way, we had some Odell. But we brought in some fans
true.
From all over
that's
the country because of Odell.
That's another great point. This is our fourth rodeo. But those three other guys, Odell was expected to be wide receiver number one, obviously. Those other guys had chances to start. No, I mean, it was a debate every single raging day about Johnny Manziel or Brian Hoyer. It was a debate about Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield and whether or not Hugh Jackson was holding them back. There really should have been no debate on Dillon Gabriel, Shador Sanders, or Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett. It should have really been two separate ones. Now, I still think you would have found fever. I still think you would have found an argument. But when you have a fan base that's that big and you say it's an open competition and then you see that fan base say, he's got no first team reps. I can speak until I'm blue in the face and go, guys, you don't understand. I'm hearing from the people in the building. Other guys who are connected are hearing from the people in the building. He might have been further behind than what you may think when it comes to the NFL offense that they would like to run. He's coming along. They're doing right by Shador. But you don't want to hear that because the head coach himself came out and said it was a four quarterback competition. If he would have said the competition to start is between Kenny and Joe, and then the competitions behind him were to be behind Dillon Gabriel and Shador Sanders, I think it would have been a competition of who gets cut.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could always just say, hey, we could always keep four. I think that that would have probably been your big fight of who gets cut between those guys. And then why would you have taken two rookie quarterbacks if you intend on cutting one of them, especially a guy with the fan base of Shador and a guy who I think has a great ceiling like Shador does. And Dillon Gabriel you took in the third round. So then you're putting him behind. I don't know if there's anything they could have done to eliminate any sort of controversy. But I can't help but agree with you. When you say it's a four-quarterback race, and then the guy who has the biggest fan base, and the guy who really gives you the most hope for the future, can we all, unless you are a Shador Sanders hater, and we got a few who listen, but the guy who you would think, hey, he's young, he's got the higher ceiling, I think he has a higher ceiling than Dillon Gabriel, when you don't give him any first-team reps, and you're saying that there's a thing, well, now I have to trust you. How many people trust the Browns? That's an uphill battle. So now I have to try to trust you, which that's going to be hard to do. And then I'm thinking, well, now you're not being fair to my favorite quarterback, is what his fan base is thinking. So, yeah, I have to agree with you. I think you're right. I think it would have been much simpler if he would have separated it and said, hey, we could keep all four quarterbacks. Absolutely. We are. This is as open as it gets. But it's between Joe and Kenny to start the season. You could have done that.
Yeah.
I wish I could debate you on it. And maybe a couple of weeks ago I would have. But thinking as clearly as I can, you're right. You're right.
Obviously, the Shador has been a gift from the gods. I see the clicks every time we mention Shador, and we try to be fair. We're never accused of being fair, though. That's the thing. Anytime we talk about Shador, it's never the right amount for the people that are listening, where it's either too much or too little, or we're not giving him a chance or whatever. I think there is an element of the fan base, and especially Shador fan base, that wanted him to be treated like a certain rookie quarterback in Washington last year. Like, that guy hit the ground running. Why can't our guy hit the ground running and start immediately and have a chance to take the team to the playoffs? You know, they will never understand why he's not being treated like that.
And because of the open competition, remember what I was saying to you 3 weeks ago. Like, I don't believe he should be treated as just another fifth-round pick. But I don't believe he should have been treated like Jaden Daniels either. So where do you find the middle of it? If you would have separated it, I think it would have been easier to do. And Jim Harbaugh kind of made it Woody and Bo all over again. Woody and Bo would often talk. Do you speak much to Jim Harbaugh now, or would you guys meet? Would you guys ever sit down?
You know, we always got along fine during our time. We didn't spend a lot of time together. I knew his brother and know his father, and so great respect for that family. But no, we don't. I don't think we've ever. We did a couple of Dick Vitale event here in Florida once. And
I love that. I would say this is great.
That's great.
Great. Never talk to him. I love it. It's better. It's better that way. That in our minds, Ohio State, I'm an alum. That's better that way. It's just perfect. Okay.
That was Urban Meyer with us about 40 minutes ago. Asked him about Jim Harbaugh. I mean, I don't think they're really going to have a bunch of dinners together or anything. I mean, one's definitely not drinking milk with his dinner. Or doing it, playing shirtless catch or any of the other weird things that Jim Harbaugh does. And he's a weirdo, let's be honest. Both good football coaches, but one's weirder than the other one. Hearing him, do you like that? Obviously, I think it makes the rivalry spicy.
You know what? It is fun because, you know, all credit to Harbaugh and, yeah, you know, Connor Stallions and everything. But, you know, they were able to win their championship and they were able to, again, propel.
It just means more to Connor Stallions.
Well, to propel the Big Ten to where it is, where you have expansion and the entire South is apoplectic about the state of affairs, where people are wondering, is the SEC ever going to win another? Of course they will. Of course they will. But the fact that we even got this break in the action of two Northern schools, and then credit to Notre Dame and credit to Penn State, like they are once again having people believe this isn't just a regional sport. This is huge for college football. And I love that Urban Meyer, who is one of the all-time great coaches in that sport and able to do it in the South and up North, can do what he can to make sure this rivalry is still a big deal, even though you've got people telling you, like me, that what does it even matter if you lose the Michigan game? What does it matter? You just went and won the national championship. You know, these games used to mean so much more, and now they're going to mean less every single year. And Urban Meyer's like, no, you don't understand. This still is a big deal. And it will continue to be a big deal. I absolutely love it from his standpoint.
Yeah, it's thing. There we go. It's got to be personal. It's always going to be personal to the fans. I don't like the way that things are set up. I don't like a Big Ten championship game. I said that to you in the podcast. I think that that needs to be killed, especially when they get to 16 teams. I think you need to get rid of a Big Ten championship game because I think you only run the risk of watering it down. I don't understand how you would ever want to run the risk of having a big money. But I say that even though I know that people will always tune in. But you don't want to water down something that makes college football special. Rivalries are real in college football where they're not, and essentially they're not in the NFL. There's a lot of teams that have rivalries, and they come, they go. Some have rivalries just because the players end up hating each other for a multitude of reasons. Professional sports, I don't see rivalries the same way I ever would in college football. College football is a special thing, and you have the most special rivalry there. And I wouldn't want to play it the next week, or if you had to play them again in the playoffs, play them again in the playoffs. But I wouldn't want to play them again the next week for the Big Ten championship game, which is only there in spirit of making money alone anymore, and that's it. Just move on to the playoffs, and that's the way it works, and you pick a champion there. And I think you can make more money with the postseason. But I love what he had to say. I like that type of stuff. I think it's really nice. You know, I love history. I do love to read about Woody and Bo and the relationship they had, and even at the end with Woody and all this stuff. I think it's really, really nice. It's respectful. But I also like when there's spiciness, when there's awkwardness, and there's definitely an awkwardness to those two guys. Speaking of awkwardness, am I being a bitterman if I say the following statement? If Baker Mayfield's your 38th best overall player in your franchise history, are you that great of a franchise? It's not a statement, it's a question. Am I being bitter? I'll stand down if I'm being bitter. I'm asking the room here. Because I saw that yesterday and I went, 38th best? Do you think he needs to be higher? Because I'm going 38. They've been around since when? 76?
Yeah.
Bucks have been around since 76. Okay, so they ain't been around since 46. We've been around since 46. That's 30 more years of history. That's a lot of other players. Okay, maybe I'm thinking a little differently here. But am I being a bitterman if I'm going, really, he's already the 38th best Buccaneer of all time?
After having two good seasons.
Yeah.
Right?
He was really good last year.
Yeah,
he was. He had a good season, then he had a really good season. Let's call it what it is. So he had a good season and a really good season. 38th best already? Franchise history?
It's two playoff seasons. They aren't just good seasons, right? They're playoff seasons.
Yeah, the problem is that they've won, and it's hard for anybody in my age bracket. Like, when we were young, Tampa Bay was an all-time joke. They were an all-time joke.
We had Eric Rett. And you had the beginning of Derek Brooks, and that's about it. Go ahead.
Testaverde? The Vinny Testaverde?
Yeah, we're talking pre this look of the Buccaneers.
And, yeah, but they do have two Super Bowls. So you would think because they have two Super Bowls, they'd have a bunch of those players that would be on that list.
Like Warren Sapp's got to be top five for them.
Well, the reason I say that...
Derek Brooks might be number one overall, not for Tom Brady.
Kenny, now the Browns have real history because of the championships and the Jim Brown era and the Otto Graham and even the 80s, certainly going to three AFC championship games. But if this year the Browns won the Super Bowl, how many Browns players are now moving up the charts, you know, in huge numbers?
Well, how many Browns players would actually be on the charts? If we did a top 50 Browns, is Denzel Ward a top 50 Brown all time?
I mean, then you're putting him, you're putting Batonio, obviously Myles Garrett is going to go front and center. Okay, but where does Myles Garrett go?
Baker's only made the playoffs with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's...
But that's also a franchise known for their defense, right? They named a defense after what they did there. That's what Tony Dungy did.
What was it? I don't remember.
Called the Tampa 2.
Tampa 2, that's it. I thought you were talking about...
Drop your middle linebacker.
Let's get into this. You're a football guy. That's a nitty-gritty football guy.
Let's go. Is that still in vogue
right
now?
Does that put Monty Kiffin in the top 50 Tampa Bay Buccaneers of all time? Does that put them there? I thought you were talking about like the no-name defense, People Eaters, Orange Crush.
Literally every 4-3 defense runs some version of the Tampa 2 now.
Steel Curtain. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. A version of defense.
But when you think back to even when they became a franchise that wasn't a joke anymore, right? When I was going into high school and, you know, that was, they changed their look.
Sucks.
They got away from the creamsicle started being on offense. What they have? They had Allstott. And then they played a lot of great defense.
See, they got to get their act together. Because if I were in any other city right now, the Browns got to get their act together. Because if we were hosting this show in Detroit, Michigan, I go 38 best. That's all you've had in your entire existence from 76 to 2025. That's all you've had. That's it. He's 38th best already after two playoff appearances.
Yeah.
I go, man, my opinion of Tampa Bay football just hit the bleeps. But if I was in Detroit, I could get away with that. I'm in Cleveland. So guess what immediately people are going to say? You're a bitter, fat, all the other words that you want to say. Fat's always brought up, but you get it.
I think you're discrediting him a little bit,
little.
Because, and I think part of that's because they had Tom Brady right before that. If Tom Brady didn't show up there, they wouldn't have won a Super Bowl, and then he really would be doing something big.
Because
there,
we made the playoffs with Joe Flacco. Is Joe Flacco a top 50 Cleveland Brown of all time? Hell no. No. Is Baker Mayfield a top 50 Brown of all time?
Name a ton of offensive Browns.
Yes, you can. They've had a prolific offensive history.
You know, that's true offensive prolific, right?
Yeah.
You put Keyshawn in there with them. You'd put Tom Brady in their top whatever, 38, because he won a Super Bowl. Would you put Gronk in there? Played 2 years there.
Okay. You're in good hands with Allstott. Yeah. Damn it.
Done.
You guys got to get your act together, because I can't have a conversation about the guy without it all coming back to that.
It's going to.
I haven't had to ask
the
question.
We're in Cleveland.
Am I being bitter? Like, I have to question myself and my own motives.
I think you're being a little bitter.
I'm not trying to be bitter, though.
I understand.
He's a very good quarterback. I'd put him top 10 right now.
So we
40 touchdowns last year. That's nothing to fart at.
That's what happens when you look at your ex. Anytime you speak on your ex, you're gonna come off as a little bitter.
Okay, I feel like every time we have a Baker conversation, we have to remind people, well, actually, this was his final year. This was what was going on in the locker room. And then he was terrible the next year in Carolina.
Yeah, but the winners
most thought he would be out of the
league. And if you have to, well, actually, your conversations, so, you're being a little bit.
Winners of the wars, that stuff, right? The history.
It's not wrong. I'm not telling you that you're doing it wrong.
Well, so the next question is, like, does it even matter what happens with Baker from here on out? Was it definitely not a mistake to go to Deshaun? That 100% obviously was a mistake because Deshaun had an all-time fall from grace. But the fact that they moved on from him, like, what if Baker, this is just what he is the rest of his career. First round, done. Wild card round, done. You know, easiest division in football with all those weapons.
Until the Browns overcome that and aren't at least a first round and done team. Yeah.
But the Browns' whole point was, we don't think he's good enough. If he's never truly good enough even there in the NFC, when all the
good quarterbacks...
So you're
fine as a Browns fan toiling again because he wasn't good enough to be a Super Bowl quarterback?
His whole career is the How Do You Like Me Now video from Toby Keith. R.I.P.
Didn't know we'd be bringing him up.
Fellow Oklahoma. I'm not trying to make you cry, but that's what it's become. And you, and guys, we can go back and revise all we want. We know the history. We've talked about it all the time. But the winners write the history. Czar Nicholas, he doesn't get his say. He got shot in the basement. And that's where we're at right now. We're being led down to the basement.
But let's say...
So we got.
Let's say this year Flacco takes them to the playoffs.
Please.
So that's two playoff appearances with Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not winning the Super Bowl or anything.
Is he still 40 years old? But Baker's, what, 28?
Sure, but if Baker again doesn't get past, you know, doesn't get to the NFC Championship game. And again, we all recognize, like, the better quarterbacks are all in the AFC. I know Philadelphia is in the NFC, but the better quarterbacks are in the AFC. What do we do with that information? How do we evaluate moving on from him?
I don't know.
Not moving on to the guy we moved on to.
Well, if Flacco ends up doing it this year, he's definitely above Baker all time as a Brown.
What? Is that right?
Yeah, if he gets them to the playoffs this year. And he
Yes. We didn't draft him.
Don't look at me like that. If Joe Flacco gets the Browns to the playoffs twice, he's above Baker as a Brown.
As a Brown.
Yeah. Well, okay. You got to listen to the whole thing instead of making your big eyes over there. Listen to the whole thing.
I'm listening to you. I just had to question it.
You're too busy going, ip.
Well, what if they just go out there and get their asses handed to them again in the wild card round like they did to Houston?
This is a city of getting your asses handed to you in the playoffs for the NFL, right?
Sir.
In the playoffs for the NFL, if you even make it there, getting your asses handed to you is at least getting there.
I think I might have handed my bitter biscuits over to Owen because one guy beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in a playoff game. The other guy got ran through by the Houston Texans.
I don't believe he's
going to
do it,
again.
So I can say it because I don't believe that it's going to happen.
Well, that's fair, too. Lyman and I got into a bit of a debate before the show. I'm getting killed online, but I know I win this. Because I'm going to tell you why. I asked you, so how did Paul Brown get brought up? How the hell did Paul Brown get brought up? Oh, yeah, because you were asking me about Blanton Collier's win percentage right after.
Well, the reason was I started the Dallas Cowboys documentary.
That's right.
And it starts out with what an awkward transition between Tom Landry and Jimmy Johnson because of who bought the team, Jerry Jones. And I thought to myself, man, you know, the biggest problem for Art Modell, and because I don't know the history like you do, Kenny, I knew they had won a Super Bowl after Paul Brown had left, but I didn't realize how successful, just in terms of wins and losses, you know, the guy that took over for him was. And amazingly enough, it was the same. It was 67%, or was it 60, the other number that
69%.
We
69%.
Was it 69?
Yeah, oh, both were 69.
Right. Here we go. So, and he won a Super Bowl. Because
mm-hmm.
I said,
well, he won a championship.
A championship. Because Jerry Jones, if Jerry, yeah, it's funny, we're talking the history. It's not a Super Bowl. It's important to note that. Because we always wonder what different factions of the fan base, what different demographics believe. But I was thinking when I was watching the Cowboys, I'm like, yeah, but no dynasty. Like Art Modell doesn't get to say anything these days, but he doesn't get to say after getting rid of Paul Brown, like, oh, we had a dynasty afterwards. Like the Cowboys got to say that. And so it made the Tom Landry thing moot.
Yeah. Then it got to Paul Brown. And then it got to this whole thing, and something about kids knowing who Paul Brown is. Mm-hmm. And you said, I don't think any young Browns fan knows who Paul Brown is. And I go, no, I think a lot of young Browns fans would know who Paul Brown is. And I put it out there, and it's like, it's already, my opinion is getting smashed. And I think a 20-year-old...
Which, by the way, shocking, because you're talking to diehard Browns fans.
Well, but I'm talking to diehard Browns fans. See, that's the thing. I'm talking to diehard Browns fans who are in their 30s and 40s. If you're a 20-year-old Browns fan, now, if you're a 20-year-old Browns fan, you got a lot of other distractions going on. That's for sure. But we were accused of having a bunch of other distractions, and our fathers were accused and all that other stuff. And then before that, they were good. And during our father's childhood, they were good. But for a young Browns fan, how have you not heard of it? Because it's the only person you've ever heard of that's brought real success. It's like not knowing who Santa Claus is. If you're 20 years old, you know who Santa Claus is. If you're a 20-year-old Browns fan, you have to know who Paul Brown is because it's the only thing that's very successful to be telling a young Browns fan. Like there's a little bit of, there's some players, there's the 80s, a little bit. Like you, in your age group, there are definitely 44-year-old guys who have 20-year-old sons. Well, they would tell their sons about the 80s Browns, but they would also tell them about Paul Brown because they were told about Paul Brown. Like, I look at Paul Brown as almost a mythological figure within the Browns, where a lot of people would probably feel that they would know who Paul Brown is if they were 20 years old, because that's all their dads told them about, was probably the great history of the Browns and how we used to be good. And when I'm talking to diehard Browns fans do not think the team's going to be very good this year. Diehard Browns fans are down on the Browns this year. Even the most ardent, crazy, come on, guys, let's be positive Browns fans are down on the Browns this year. And the only thing that they have left to cling to is the history of the Browns. How would a young kid not know who the Browns are? I don't know how many 20-year-olds are listening at 6:48 in the morning right now, which is probably ageism by me. You're 23, Gabe, and I already know what your internship was before, so you don't count. We have a new guy named Gabe. He's not a new guy, but he's technically a new guy here. I've known Gabe for quite a while now. But either way, I think that a young guy in his early 20s, definitely, if you're listening to this, you definitely know who Paul Brown is.
Well, I would hope, because so we're speaking to the guys that do want to carry on, you know, that type of tradition and knowledge. But I, so it's the average fan?
A hardcore Browns fan who I'm talking to, it's your lack of faith in the generation behind us, which we always have. And the second thing is, it's your lack of faith in the Browns. It's your lack of faith in the Browns to create anybody in between the 80s Browns and now, with the exception of a couple of players who at sometimes you almost feel bad for, that have been really, really good players on really, really bad teams. So I would say definitely a 20-year-old knows who the Browns are. I wish I could find anything that was outside of this realm, because I think anything, like if Owen were to ask his kids, Owens kids know who Paul Brown is. He works in this business. If I don't know how else to do it, but I would imagine that if there was a guy who's a listener and his son is 20 years old in Middleburg Heights, Ohio, I guarantee you on my own life that that kid knows who Paul Brown is. Other than that, or he's trolling me.
Well,
you guys won't believe it.
I mean, that's going all the way back to the 60s. I want to know, are we sure that everybody knows that when they do the Baltimore Ravens, how many years, 30 years of whatever, week two, when Joe Flacco goes back there and gets whatever round of applause and ovation he gets for being a part of the Ravens identity, like, are we positive that all the young Browns fans will know that that was us? That the only reason that
I would imagine
they got off to a great start and won a Super Bowl right away was because of us?
How does a young Browns fan
I never know about who is passing the traditions along to make sure that you indoctrinate your young ones in knowing where this came from and why we're so passionate.
This isn't the 50s and 60s Browns where there's one game a week on national television and we have Jim Brown and we're winning championships. So people in Alabama end up being Browns fans and we get calls from Birmingham, Alabama. It isn't like that anymore. You have to want to be a Browns fan until otherwise. The Chiefs are enjoying that. There will probably be multiple generations of Chiefs fans now because of who they have at quarterback and because they win multiple Super Bowls now. And at one point you enjoyed that. You don't anymore. And you haven't enjoyed it for quite a while. So a 20-year-old Browns fan, more than likely, guys, I wish we had a bigger footprint. With the older people, we do. With the 30-somethings who have, hate to say it, have led to part of the brain drain here in Northeast Ohio, as they've moved to Los Angeles, as they moved to New York City, as they moved to Chicago.
Back Charlotte.
Yeah, well, just ask old Mayor Business about all that, but that's a totally different set of circumstances here. They've moved to all these other places. They create big-time Browns backers groups in all these other places because they ain't living here no more. But with the 20-year-old who is from here, who's from Northeast Ohio, yeah, you basically got to be from here to be a Browns fan right now. What has been the enticement? Johnny Manziel's no enticement. He's enticed by other things.
Yeah, maybe we gained some fans
from him
when we traded for, Odell Beckham. So, and, you know, who knows? Will the Shador fans be staying with us?
So a guy.
Is this very temporary?
If he's good, the Shador fans will be with us. If he's not so good and they have to move on from him or they do the unthinkable and actually cut this guy by the end of this week, which they won't, but if they were to do something like that, well, then you better duck and cover because there's going to be serious hell to pay. But the 20-year-old Browns fan out there, boy, you got to want it right now. You got to want it. And that means you know who Paul Brown is because you're going to cling to the last parts of success, sustained success that you've had. I know I'm right. You guys will not believe me, but damn it, I know it. Before we get back to the Kenny stuff, Lava got on the phone with me yesterday, immediately started bit. Well, first off, you started at the end of the call. You were eating while I was on the phone with you, which is the only time I actually want to physically assault you. Mm-hmm. That and when you called me a hack. And that was behind the scenes. That was 10 years ago. But the other time that I want to physically assault you is when you eat and slurp and munch in my ear when we're on the phone and you don't care. And I've learned
it's not that I don't care.
No,
I don't care. I think that Ken is oblivious to a lot of his mannerisms when he's eating or shouting or talking or talking football speak and coaching and youth sports.
Tell me more.
And when I come in and you're screaming, you don't even know you're screaming.
Because I'm hard of
hearing. But that you are at such a high level. I've never heard somebody talk as loud as you do. And it's the first thing that welcomes me in the morning while I'm trying to get situated. So we all have
but
our annoying...
But I wouldn't have to scream at you if you showed up on time.
We all have our annoying habits. I just put up with yours and I don't complain about them. You go out of your way to complain about them.
Punctuality is something to complain about?
What's wrong with my punctuality? When would you like me in here in the mornings?
Oh, no. I've said this many times. It's not my problem with your punctuality. It's somebody else's problem with your punctuality.
Whose problem?
Guy down the hallway who I said had power alleys until he shaved his head.
He's never said anything to me about my punctuality.
Because he knows it ain't going to help. He knows it ain't going to work. I told you this before. Everybody.
When would you guys like me to get in the morning?
It's not my call.
No, I'm asking you when you would like me to get in, because we tried this
the time you
at
get
one point, and we'd sit here, we'd finish the show, and then have 45 minutes to stare at each other while you talk about youth coaching and whatnot.
So, well, no, at that time, I certainly wasn't a youth coach.
What is it that you would like me to change if this had been such a big problem?
It's the second youth coaching reference he's made, Owen.
You should hear behind the scenes how many there. I just know you're oblivious to it at this point. Well, no reason to even bring it up.
Making conversation with a coworker there. Owen and I are close friends. I thought you were too, but good God, I take interest in all your things.
The problem is you're so loud that I have to just take it in. There is no real defense I could have other than to get out of the room. But then again, then you'd get mad and I would hear about that too. So I'm kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Well, no, because
that's not how defensive he gets.
Any time
you bring up
any
of the pet peeves others might have about him, he just goes to Twitter to let everybody know the things he doesn't like about me.
I asked you if I could, and you said I could yesterday.
Ken's history of attempting to curry favor with the fans is well documented against people that he's hosted shows with before.
Well, what do you mean by that? Who else am I hosting shows with?
We go back to the old guy who's not here anymore, who's in another part of the country.
What on earth would that guy say?
He used to go to Twitter to work your magic.
When would I go to Twitter to work my magic? I didn't have to. He didn't even look at the thing.
I know.
Owen had to turn it on for him.
That was the point. You knew he wasn't available on that site, so you could go.
Well, again, the difference is that everybody adjusts to Anthony.
Good Foley work.
He does not adjust to anybody else. So I could tell you anytime I would want you in, it doesn't matter. It ain't going to happen. You will do as you please. We all know that. Owen, if you don't want to say anything, you go right on ahead.
Don't say it. I would love both of you to say whatever's on your mind right now.
So anywho.
I'd love us to get on topic.
Before that part of the phone call, eating. You said you were very annoyed, not by me right now. You were annoyed by something else when it comes to lemonade stand.
So I think the market's oversaturated when it comes to the lemonade stand. And the beauty of the lemonade stand is the whole point was, hey, I'm teaching my kids the entrepreneurial spirit. I'm going to have them out there on a hot day. We are going to have them hit the market with something that people that are driving by, walking by, biking by, that they might want and that we have, and there can be an exchange of money, and then you get product and everybody's happy, right?
Yeah.
But when there are 7 lemonade stands in your neighborhood, now you have to give cold shoulder to 6 of them, right? But you have to pick one. All right, that's capitalism. That's the beauty of capitalism. But then with so many of them popping up, I don't really need lemonade at all hours of the day, right? So I'm probably going to have to decide, all right, am I going to just have to say, hey, guys, or whatever, because I told Ken I honk at all the lemonade stands. That's what I do.
I can't believe there's that many
lemonade
stands.
Oh, they're all over. They're all over. Now their kids are going back to school.
I mean,
so
I don't believe
over.
7, but 3 lemonade stands on the same street. I'd be going, geez, what's going on here?
Where I live, there's a prominent street corner. They set one up there. There's one down the street that the parents go on Facebook and advertise, hey, come to my kid's lemonade stand. We probably, within a quarter mile radius, I have 4 or 5, yeah.
And it feels like there's even more. In the 3 years that I've lived in my neighborhood, there's more and more that have popped up. Well, there's sidewalks everywhere.
Right.
I mean, Streetsboro is very, very different.
If it's a walkable city.
Yeah. Yeah. So
there's sidewalks in my neighborhood.
Plus the homes. Congratulations. The homes are close together, so you're passing more of them. Believe me, it is a cute thing to do. I guarantee my kids will be out there doing the exact same thing. Yeah.
Lemonade.
But what was one of the go-tos when you were walking by or driving by? What's one of the go-tos when you couldn't do it? You'd say, I don't have cash.
Oh, man, I'm out
Same
of cash.
Same thing I say to the guys on the street.
Always. I don't have any cash.
I got none on me, bud.
Well, guess what? They've solved that.
What do they got?
They all have their codes. They all have their QR Venmo codes or their PayPals. All of them.
No cash apps.
Zelle. They're all out there. They all have them available. They have like brochures printed out with all their information. So no longer can you say, I don't have cash. You basically just have to tell them, I don't want to get involved in this.
I don't have my phone on
my lemonade max.
Just say you don't have your phone on. Yeah. Does that work?
No, that doesn't work.
I've never Venmoed. Only my wife is Venmoed. I have no idea. So that doesn't work at all if you just say I don't have my phone on me?
Well, I mean, you can. I think they would say, oh, that's right. Get us later.
Yeah.
Wait, six-year-olds are telling you to get them later?
Well, the problem is they always have.
They got their muscle with them.
Yeah, they always have a parent close by or gardening or somebody who's doing the lawn.
See, you can't do that. It has to be just the kids out there. It has to be just them, because then that's when you teach the true nature of business.
Anthony, is this only on your street? Or I imagine, you know, there's a very nice part of Bay Village that you at least walk down or maybe jog down, right?
Oh, I've seen them on Lake Road.
Oh.
I've seen them with the mansions.
That's where I've got the problems.
Now, let me ask you this.
Where I've got the problems. If you're living in the 4,000 square foot plus house and you're asking a buck from me for lemonade, probably not happening, bud.
Owen got me thinking here, because Owen had a great name. Wouldn't just be lemonade. Any goofball can sell lemonade. The kid picking his nose and eating his boogers can sell lemonade.
I've seen shaved ice.
Your kid. Oh, see, now that's a different story. I said your kid could sell lemonade. Specified. And then can you sell just different flavors too? Because if everybody else is, go with me on this. You got four on your street, four of them. If you're selling different flavors and you can sell them at maybe a cheaper price with different flavors, could you find yourself in a situation, and maybe, I don't know, maybe you could break some state liquor laws and maybe offer a little bit in there as well for the parents. If you could do that, could you find yourself in a situation
now you've got limoncello
where you could buy
Parents would take advantage of that on like Thursdays and Fridays.
I do it on Halloween, and it is a huge hit on Halloween. So I would imagine on August 19th, it's going to be a huge hit too.
If you think about it like this, some kid takes out their own little loan with their parents over $100 for all the stuff that they need, and now they have to pay back that loan. Could you then offer to buy them out and take over their businesses and just build a bigger lemonade stand? Oh, Baby Izzy's lemonade.
We could take over. And really, since
Sam Walton started with one hardware store, guys.
Well, yeah, nobody's governing these anymore. There's no oversight. It seems like you could just, especially with the politics the way they are now, you could kind of do whatever you wanted. You could really push people aside.
What are you trying to say?
It's all about money, right? I don't know the deal.
I learned about all this on an episode of Boondocks.
Well, is there anything to do with permits in your town, Owen?
No, and in fact, you see a lot of the police stopping and patronizing. And, you know, getting their pictures snapped with
them.
And
think about this. You could have two companies. You could get it where you buy the other three, so it's just you, but you open up the one at the other end of the other end, and that becomes a shell company of yours, and then you sell the illegal booze down there. So if they get popped, you don't know nothing about
it. Now we're dealing with some arbitrage here. This is good.
So you could sell it down there.
And then all of a sudden, Little League Bay Village is throwing pitches.
So if the Galax come up to that store, if the Galax come up to that stand and they're like, hey, we heard there's being illegal booze being sold here, you go, I don't know nothing about that. I don't know how they operate down there. And then you can close it up if you need to, or just open it up at the other end of the street.
Well, really, the quality of product doesn't really matter, does it?
Not the first time.
Because you're just hitting up these stands once a summer.
Yeah.
You're not really a repeat customer.
I cannot tell you, man, if I've
ever... You go on a frequent jog/run, right?
That's a thing
your family does.
See, I don't walk or run, so I don't actually buy lemonade.
Yeah, but the sugar properties of lemonade, I think you draw them back in.
Or do you have any bullies on your block that you could use that maybe Izzy could hire as muscle? Maybe they could offer protection lemonade stands to make sure nothing bad happens.
I'm just saying, where you're located at and where they're doing construction right now, it's perfect for her to go start one. You got business.
Yeah, right now these stands, they have it easy. They don't have to pay out the VIG to anybody. They don't have protection. They haven't needed it up to this point.
And maybe
they
should.
But things could change.
Anything can happen. You have no idea what can happen in Bay Village there. Lemonade stands burn down. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Lemonade lightning.
Coming up in 5 minutes. Woo!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.